Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. You'll notice on the back of your bulletin that Michael Williams is the senior pastor of this church, and I am not him. My name is Jonathan, for those of you visiting. I'm a divinity student at Vanderbilt, and as part of a practicum in worship and liturgy, I'm going through the process here of the liturgy, and I'll be preaching for you. So, welcome. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. This is a place of light and activity during Advent, and there are multiple things to read about in your bulletin, but I'm just going to mention a few of the things that stand out in the coming week, this week. Reconciliation Dinner, which is for prisoners, the families of people in prison, is Saturday, December 7th. All of the gifts have been sponsored for these children, but what remains is our support of the dinner itself. If you would like to sponsor a family coming and having Christmas dinner at our church, the cost is $50 per family. There's a special insert for that in the bulletin, and this truly is what this particular ministry needs at this time. Also, you'll see in Reed Hall, wonderful table set up with all kinds of goodies and crafts and gifts. This is the Share the Gift of Mission Market. And these are gift ideas that are going to support other areas of ministry. So if you find something there that you think you could give away as a gift, maybe do some Christmas shopping here after the service. Also, next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. on December 8th, the chancel choir will be presenting a Christmas concert with brass and organ. And you'll not want to miss that. I'm sure it will be wonderful. The Advent Wreath Workshop dinner will be today at 5:30 in McWhirter Hall, and you can refer also to a special insert with information regarding that event. Also, this is a season of gifts, and in your bulletin you'll find this little pamphlet. It says, "This Little Light of Mine," and on the back are the service times for all the special events coming up, worship opportunities here at the church. If everybody in our church gave out one of these, we really would have trouble, serious trouble, parking for the candlelight service. But that being said, these services are wonderful and delightful and uplifting. Share this with your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, and welcome them into our community of faith. Jesus meets us where we are. Often, that is the wilderness. Are we ready for Jesus to show up?
Jesus Christ is the world's true light. In this hour, we remember him.
In this hour, we accept God's grace in him.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord."
I invite you to join me in the Collect of Purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdemeanors. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Almighty and everlasting God, who works in the history of time and space, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we might experience your grace and be transformed through Jesus Christ our Lord. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is a difficult passage. It's not easy to read, and it's not easy to hear, and it's not what I really think about when I think about Christmas or Jesus coming. And so often when I look at a difficult passage, I ask myself, well, what comes around this passage? What comes right before this? And I discovered that it helped me understand. And so I want to share it with you. If we back up to verse 3 and get Luke's lead-in for John's words, it's going to help us out. John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Will you please join me in prayer? Most gracious God, out of all the words that will now be spoken and heard, may it be your living word that stays in our hearts. Give us the grace to receive it, and give us the charity to let all the other words slip away. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Right Reverend Jeremy Taylor was a bishop in the Church of England and was one of the most important Anglican theologians in Great Britain during the 17th century. In 1650 and 1651, he wrote two little books, The Rule and Exercises of Holy Living and its counterpart, The Rule and Exercises of Holy Dying. 70 years later, in the 1720s, a young student at Oxford named John Wesley picked up these books and discovered what would become one of the principal concerns of the people called Methodist. That is, the care of one's time. Not surprisingly, Wesley's discovery corresponds to a systematic increase in the use of his diary. He wanted to know how exactly he was spending his time each day. He wasn't alone in his feelings of urgency either. By the time Wesley began to teach at Oxford in the 1730s, he and his brother Charles and a band of their friends were on a weekly schedule of devotional reading, prayer, and service to the poor in their community. For Wesley, the gospel of Jesus Christ was not a neat idea, nor was it a story about good morals. Rather, Wesley viewed the gospel as a witness to God's historical activity in Jesus Christ and a rule for his daily life. Challenged by his tradition, beginning with the commands of Jesus to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, Wesley wanted to do something about his faith. He and his friends looked at the world, they looked at their lives, they held the two up to the light of Scripture and asked each other, what are we waiting for? In John the Baptist, we can see the same sense of urgency. He's out in the wilderness of the Jordan Valley telling anybody who will listen that they don't need to go to the temple to be cleansed. Simply, they need to observe the covenantal love of God and respond. Friends, this is why we celebrate Advent. Like John the Baptist reminding Israel of God's desire for inward holiness, we retell this story every year to remember that Christ has come. The incarnation of Christ is the culmination of God's covenant with creation, revealed through the people of Israel. We retell this story every year because in remembering the advent of Jesus Christ, we regain our sense of urgency about preparing for the Lord to return. We remember that we need to pay attention to what we are doing in our time. But how does repentance help us look forward through a process of remembering? The word we translate as repentance is the Greek word metanoia. There are two words here, meta and noia, which roughly translate as next to and perception or insight. Together, in the context of this passage of Scripture, the two words might mean something like, after being next to God, I have new insight. or after seeing who God is, I see the world differently. So repentance is not simply about a change of heart, but a change of heart that leads to a change in life, an inner change that produces the outer change. Repentance opens up space for God, who has been waiting nearby. And the instant God takes up residence in the human heart, grace inspires us to look outward to the world, for the whole creation is God's concern. This is where the urgency of the Spirit takes hold of us, for the Spirit is always moving towards creation's new life. When by the grace of the Spirit we see the difference between where we are and where God hopes for us to be, we want to get to work immediately. When this happens, we, like Wesley and his friends, become doers of the word. Having recognized the depth of God's love, repentance inaugurates the human desire to do something new. Forgiveness, then, is a gracious God giving us the power and means to do so. So what is preparing the way of the Lord? I think that preparing the way of the Lord is the actual work of doing something new. We hear these words all the time. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, remember the forgotten, listen to the lonely, visit with the sick, visit with those in prison. Do these words really mean anything to us? For me, they often just feel like huge things that I can't possibly accomplish. And the truth is, we can't do it on our own. But as a community, as a people inspired by God's love, we have the choices that we make each day. Each individual moment, we can pass people by or we can notice them. We can give the gifts we have or we can keep them for ourselves. All of this is a lot of work. But what is also true is that being a messenger and conduit for God's new life for the world is the deepest joy that a human being can ever have. And why is this? This is so because these are the tasks for which we were made. This is why God created us. Participating with God and giving new life to creation is the deepest joy we can experience because it is the deepest expression of who we are as creatures made in the image of God. When we let grace lie, when we stop expecting Jesus to show up, we continue to fall short of the glory of God, and we stop short of truly becoming the body of Christ. And so we come to the crux of today's passage in Luke. Let's remember how John describes it. Do not think for yourselves that you are the children of Abraham, for God can make the children of Abraham out of these stones. John brings a message of condemnation. It's hard. It's pointed. It's convicting. And the people have an appropriate response. Well, what can we do? What should we do? John could have gone into some philosophical treatise, but he doesn't. His answers are purely practical. If you've got two coats, give one away. Friends, what are we keeping for ourselves that we could give away and bring life to those around us? The cultures change as human life evolves, but John's challenge to the crowd of the Jordan remains as potent as ever. Luke's text tells us that God values both purity of heart and the holiness of life that comes as a result. The simple and convicting reverse of this is that where there is no holiness of life, where there is no resemblance to Jesus, neither is there purity of heart. So I ask myself, and I ask all of you, what are we doing with our time? What is the focus of our spending? How do we use our authority? How are we living our lives? Do we honor God in all that we do? I know that I don't. Friends, we need to urgently examine ourselves. Are we ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? All of the time between when Jesus ascended into heaven and when Jesus will return in victory, all of that time is a second advent. But this time we're getting ready for the coming of the risen Lord. This time Christ will not arrive in the dead of night, naked and crying, a helpless infant. This time Christ will come on clouds brighter than lightning, with a glory in his face that's too fierce to look upon. And we retell this story every year so that we remember to look forward to that, so that we remember to do the work God calls us to do in the meantime, here and now. It is this looking forward that empowers us to the work of discipleship. If all we do is look back, the sight is overwhelmingly depressing. I have done so many things in my life that were wrong. I have hurt myself and so many others in so many ways, but God's grace is sufficient for me, for you, and for the whole world. God looks at the brokenness and sin of creation, and instead of leaving us here to die, God becomes one of us in order to give us the hope and power to do new things. Just because we've passed people by who are experiencing need doesn't mean we can't stop to love and feed and minister to the very next one we see. God's grace should give us hope and energy. The message of condemnation and conviction cannot be separated from God's love. Our sin is never separate from our brokenness. God's challenge is never separate from God's mercy. God's grace is new each moment of every day, waiting nearby for us to try and try and try again. So we see that the power of repentance is that it changes how we look at things. And if we see that one way of doing things leads to the death of creation, and another way of doing things leads to life, what are we waiting for? We all, each one of us, have a choice to make, just like the folks at the Jordan, just like the folks with Wesley in Oxford. Our Christian faith started, and Methodism started, when a few frightened young men and women took seriously the implications of the story of Jesus Christ. It seems to me that what we must do to keep our church a vital expression of the faith of Jesus Christ is continue in this tradition. Continue to take seriously the work that this story challenges us to do. For we must either follow Jesus into the sin and suffering of the world, or admit that we don't really believe any of this stuff about the incarnation, death, and resurrection of the living Word of God. If Jesus is who we say he is, what are we going to do about it? Friends, we belong to a church that is doing lots about it. There are many in this place deeply involved. This church presents myriad opportunities for learning and service and witness that empowers us to go out into the world. Make use of your community. Our call to be the church is not a neat idea that sounds good on Sundays. It is either something that we do or something that we do not do. There is no third thing. Today we begin retelling the story of God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. It is a story of how the eternal and all-powerful divine being accepted the limitations of human birth, human life, and human death in order to decisively demonstrate the life-giving power and possibility of love. It is a story that brings us to the realization that through the strength of God's grace, we are not powerless in the face of injustice, greed, war, disaster, and disease. It is a story that moves us outward beyond the edges of ourselves in search of creation's new life. It is a story that calls us, as a forgiven and reconciled people, to take the hope and forgiveness of this Christ's table out into the wilderness of humanity's grief and sin. The story reveals the mystery that God will not bring about the new creation without our participation. The story reveals that the loving light of Christ will never be connecting and will never be transforming unless it passes through us, the ambient lens of the body of Christ. The story tells us that it is high time that we used all of our faculties and all of our gifts and all of our time to get ready for the arrival of the Prince of Peace. Today we have lit the candle of hope. What do you hope for? My dear friends, what are we waiting for? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. One of the ways that we can do this, one of the ways that we can prove with our time and our person who we think God is to recite and profess our faith. Now, I invite you to join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. It's found at page 881 in the hymnal. And I invite you to stand as you are able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his
We extend a warm word of welcome to all those who are worshiping with us today. It is a privilege to have you with us in worship. A special welcome is also extended to those of you who may be visiting with us today. And we invite everyone to please join us for a time of fellowship following our worship service in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right. If you are a first-time visitor, we would very much like to meet you. Before the end of your visit today, we invite you to please stop by the Bread for the Journey table, which is also located in Reed Hall, where a church member will be waiting with some information about our programs and ministries, as well as a special gift. In your pew, there are gray cards which may be filled out with prayer requests or comments and questions for our church leadership. In a large church family, this is one very important way for us to stay in touch with our congregation. We invite you to please place your card in the offering plates as they are passed in a few moments. Our 2014 Faithful Giving campaign is off to a good start with over 250 pledges from you during the first few weeks of our campaign, for which we are very grateful. However, we still need to hear from many of the members of our congregation. If you have not pledged, you can find pledge cards in the pew racks in front of you, which you can fill out and place in the offering plates as they are passed. You can also pledge this year online at the church's website. We invite you to contribute to the ministries of God in this place. Every good thing we receive is a gift from our Creator God. Let us praise the God of love with our tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of ye. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as ye gather, drink this in remembrance of me."
Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all the benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
Let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk into newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
This is our Lord's table, and you are all welcome. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to come by way of the center aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail when you're ready to be served the elements. Simply extend your hand. You'll be served the bread first and then the cup. You're welcome to remain for a time of prayer, and then when you do return to your seat, we invite you to return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, we're glad to do that. Either catch our eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we will serve you where you sit. Now, we take an offering at every communion service, and this month that offering goes to support campus ministries in Nashville. We have Fisk, we have Tennessee State, we have Belmont, and we have Vanderbilt. And if any of you have ever experienced campus ministry, you know the transforming effect it can have upon your life. We have a special connection with some of these ministries because one's across the street and others are just down the street. So if you would like to support these ministries as an extension of Christ's work on the campus, you're welcome to leave your offering in the plates that sit next to the front pews as you come to commune. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture tells us that no eye has seen, that no one has ever imagined the glory and joy that awaits those who love God. In the hope of this, let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.